The issue of corporate tax cuts is a key division between the government and the opposition, and it will remain so when Parliament resumes in a fortnight. Paul Bongiorno is back with us this year. He's in our Parliament House studios. Paul, hello there.
Hello, Fran, and glad to see you again, and sorry to hear you've got a summer cold.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Paul. You noticed. You heard the Treasurer there using this IMF report, which tips a pickup in world growth fueled by the Trump tax cuts to support his company tax cut policy. Labor is amping up the inequality argument around this. How significant a battleground do you think this up is in the lead-up to the budget, Paul?
Well, I think it'll be a significant battleground, not only in the lead-up to the budget, Fran, but in the lead-up to the next federal election, which all the pundits and the political class are convinced will be before the end of the year. And that's because There's a tremendous lot of ideology behind the whole tax cut debate. I noticed, for example, Peter Martin in the Herald today highlights what the IMF has pointed out, that the forecasts of this sugar hit, which will last till 2022, according to the IMF, is that US revenues will not be offset by spending cuts in the near term. But the next administration will have to do the cleanup. Now, we've already seen the sort of cuts that Trump wants to do to the American middle class, and more to the point, the American poor. And this is the sort of battle that's going on in Australia as well. To get back to a budget in balance, according to the Treasurer, there are all sorts of cuts factored in that are being held up in our Senate. So, as you pointed out to Scott Morrison, we've heard forecasts like this before, but the politics of it will make it very hard for the Treasurer to convince I think the general public, but certainly the Parliament, that massive tax cuts to the top end are what we need and can afford at this time.
Okay. Paul, Labor frontbencher Mark Butler is about to finish up his tenure as ALP National President. He's had a hell of a warning to his party in a speech he gave on Monday, hitting out at the, quote, backroom buffoonery of Labor's factional chiefs, who he accuses of blocking internal reforms, leaving the rank and file with fewer rights than any other Labor Party anywhere in the world. He says if Labor continues the old ways, we'll see trust in the Labor Party continue to wither away, and he says Labor's barely treading water and can no longer credibly claim to be a mass membership party. It's pretty searing criticism.
Yeah, it's the sort of stuff we're hearing from Tony Abbott about the Liberals in New South Wales. And it's the sort of challenge, really, to establish political parties that has to be met, simply. The fact of the matter is that in a democracy like ours, it serves us best if our major political parties do, in fact, give a voice, to voters, to people. But the risk here, of course, is that on the Liberal side, the rank and file or the base, whatever you want to call them, the grassroots, can take the party further to the right than the electorate as a whole is, or on the Labor side, can take the party further to the left than the electorate is. Now, there has been a reality check to that, perhaps in America and in Britain recently, the Bernie Sanders phenomenon and then Corbyn. And I noticed that Mark Butler cites Britain and shows that reforms in the British Labor Party led that party to a massive increase in membership. Yep. Also led that party to elect Jeremy Corbyn, who everyone thought was unelectable. Well, the fact is he did much better than thought, but he still wasn't elected as Prime Minister.
Yeah, these are changing dynamics, and the big parties are proving pretty slow to handle them. Paul, thank you very much. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Fran. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Paul Bongiorno is a columnist with the Saturday paper.